This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
To date, 29 states have legalized medical marijuana as far back as California in 1996. Yet, over 20 years later, there is still much debate at multiple levels regarding the outcomes around medical marijuana, beneficial or otherwise. To help us navigate some current research and thoughts, we welcome our guest, Dr. Carrie Levy, to the program. Dr. Levy is professor of medicine at the University of Colorado in the Division of Healthcare Policy and Research, associate director of the Denver-Seattle Center of Innovation for Veteran-Centric, Value-Driven Research. She's the director of palliative medicine for the Eastern Colorado Healthcare System and president-elect of AMDA, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Dr. Levy, in 2017, a group out at the University of New Mexico, led by economist and assistant professor Dr. Sarah Stith, published an article in JAMDA, the Journal of the American Medical Director Association, focusing on the impact of medical cannabis programs on the utilization of Schedule 2 to Schedule 5 medications. What did that group find?
Well, they had some very interesting findings. They essentially had a chronic pain program where patients had the option of electing medical cannabis. And then they followed those patients forward. And interestingly enough, there were 83 patients who met their inclusion criteria who were on medical cannabis, and 42 who chose not to. They had the option, but they chose not to participate in the medical cannabis program. And as they followed those individuals forward, there were 63% males in the medical cannabis portion of the study, about 51 years of age in that portion of the study, and 65% of them had chronic back pain. The remainder had some other type of chronic pain. In the comparison group, there were 42 people, and obviously these were not balanced groups because it was just an observational study, but 42 individuals were in the comparison group who were not partaking in the medical cannabis portion of the program, and a similar number were male. They were slightly older at 58 years of age, and 100% of that group had chronic back pain. And what was really fascinating about this program is that a third of those who chose to use medical cannabis stopped all scheduled medications, all 2 through 4 scheduled medications, completely stopped them. And 36% reduced the number of medications that they used over the observation period. And it wasn't a long observation period. So within a year, a fair number of individuals had completely stopped using scheduled medications, which was really quite shocking to those who were conducting the study and, of course, those who were observing this study. And in comparison, the 42 individuals who were in the comparison group, only one person had a similar result, where they had stopped all of their prescription, or excuse me, scheduled medications. So when they looked at this in terms of age and gender adjusted differences before and after, all of the measures that they had tried to look at, which included the number of drug prescriptions, the number of distinct drug classes that were used, the number of dates prescriptions were filled, and the number of prescribing providers, those were their four primary outcome measures, those were all statistically significantly lower in this treatment group that received medical cannabis.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, so it was a pretty compelling, albeit small and uncontrolled and only observational study, but it really does raise some interesting questions that I think are of potential interest to our folks in long-term care.
And it was important to note that with regard to other limitations, they didn't look at the potential for health risks from cannabis, and they didn't review the safety or efficacy of cannabis. It was truly an observational type study.
You're correct. And that's really a problem with much of the work that's been done in medical cannabis, and certainly a place where we need to go in the future.
Well, that was in New Mexico. But in 2000, in the bordering state of Colorado, your state, medical marijuana was legalized with the passage of Ballot Amendment 20. And in 2012, Colorado became one of two states to first legalize cannabis for recreational use through the passage of Colorado Amendment 64. And on February 12th of this year, the Cato Institute tweeted, "States that have legalized marijuana for medical use have seen a dramatic decrease in opioid use and overdose rates." Dr. Levy, as someone with true boots on the ground perspective, what have you learned in Colorado since the legalization of both medical and recreational marijuana?
Well, it's interesting. It's becoming quite common to have older adults in our clinics, in our nursing homes, in our assisted living environments, who have tried cannabis and who have experience with it now. And so what we're sort of being forced to do as providers, whether we like it or not, is develop a little bit of a language around use of cannabis and a bit of familiarity with what our older adults are buying, what they're using, and how it might affect them, and try to provide some safety precautions to those who are using it, because we really don't have any ability to prescribe or deprescribe because they're going to use it whether we like it or not. And so what we've tried to do is catch up because people are coming into our offices asking us questions, and we need to hopefully be able to have somewhat of an intelligent conversation with them.
Well, since the regulations have been in place for so many years, do you find that you've become ahead of the curve somewhat, so to speak, with regard to Colorado compared to other states? Or, what would be the specific learning points that you might tell states who are relatively new, such as Massachusetts, to this arena?
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know if we were as thoughtful as we could have been about how this works. And of course, we all wish we had more data. We certainly have very little to no data in older adults, and we all worry that use of this medication, use of cannabis may cause falls, may cause confusion, and we really don't know how to recommend to use it safely. And so all we can do at this point is to try to learn what we can from our patients and do what we do in other cases. And so what I will usually recommend is, just as we do with opioids, when we have, just last week, we had a patient we were seeing through our telemedicine program, and they were sleepy and they weren't functioning very well. And it seemed to coincide with the time when they were prescribed opioids. And so we began an opioid tapering program with that individual. And I think a similar type of approach would apply in the use of cannabis. So if we notice that function changes, and of course we're all about function, after someone begins using cannabis, then we might approach that in a similar way, where we would talk about altering the way that they're using the cannabis as we would an opioid if it seems to be adversely affecting function. Hmm. I'll tell you, in my anecdotal experience, what I've experienced is that older adults are actually experiencing better function and tending, as we observed in this study, to get away from their opioids because they are discovering an alternative that seems to be acceptable and doesn't seem to have the side effects they were noticing with their opioids. And so they are transitioning, just as was seen in this study, away from their opioids and using cannabis instead.
Our interview will continue after this brief message from the Society. Here's your chance to attend select educational sessions from the Society's 2018 annual conference virtually. Our new live stream will broadcast 8 sessions that appeal to various members of the PALTC care team. Participants will be able to attend the sessions via high-definition video feed, download slides and resources, submit questions for speakers to respond to, chat with other live stream participants, and receive real-time customer technical support. In addition, 15 continuing education hours are available from the live program. To learn more, please visit paltc.org/livestream. And now back to our program.
We're talking with Dr. Kerry Levy, professor of medicine from the University of Colorado. Dr. Levy, as recently as 2016, the federal government maintained its determination of marijuana as a Schedule I drug alongside opioids such as heroin. Marijuana is therefore illegal at the federal level, and this has implications on institutions that may receive federal funds, such as those from Medicare. And Dr. Levy, given federal restrictions, what are the implications of legalized medical marijuana in the skilled nursing facility setting? Not only in regard to potential outcomes for patients and residents, but also in the ability to even prescribe?
We certainly can't prescribe in this state. We don't have, it's part of our, the way it's been set up legally here, we don't have the ability to prescribe. What we can do is say that an individual has a condition that has some data to support its use, and that's basically our limitation in this particular state. The implications for our long-term care facilities are still unknown. We don't know what will happen if someone in our space is using and there's an adverse outcome. We don't know how regulatory agencies will handle that. And so we have yet to see the test case, and of course none of us want to be the test case. There are some facilities that have taken a don't ask, don't tell approach, where they know residents are using cannabis and they don't ask and no one talks about it. That's obviously not the most transparent way to handle this. Other facilities have developed policies and procedures around the handling of cannabis, and I believe that's the direction we will all need to go in the future and recognize that this is a strange tension we have, because it's not legally it's not legal federally, but it is in 29 states now legally okay to use medical marijuana, and in several states recreationally acceptable. So there will be a tension for quite some time, and there will be some cases that need to be worked through on a regulatory basis. And until that happens, I don't think we have good guidance. The bottom line is, though, it's in our space, and we'll need to do the tough work to figure out how to safely allow residents to use this, because at least in my experience, they're finding it helpful, and to not allow use will become increasingly difficult, especially if it means doing, using medical cannabis in place of opioids, for example.
So I'm going to ask you, Dr. Levy, to put on your palliative care hat for a moment. And, you know, end of life is still a relatively new territory in medicine. We are speaking more about hospice care, palliative care, advanced care planning, patients' goals and wishes. You know, 9 states now have recreational marijuana legalization. Do you think that end-of-life care, patient goals, patient choice are going to be playing more of a role in the utilization of marijuana or the acceptance of marijuana? And I ask this because it came up at a interdisciplinary team conference from one of the nurses that is helping a patient who's having very bad pain, and it came up as a potential. Can we use marijuana?
Absolutely. It will continue to be a part of the conversation. And we initially tried to not let it be part of the conversation, and that's no longer an option. And the reason for trying not to let it be part of the conversation is exactly the reason you were bringing up, because of the federal prohibition against its use. And it does put any facility or agency that receives federal funding in a very awkward and potentially financially precarious position. But we also are obligated to provide patient-centered care. And so this tension will exist, and I sincerely hope that patient preference wins out, and it must. And so we'll continue to balance these two needs in the coming weeks, months, and years ahead.
Very challenging, but very interesting. Dr. Levy, as we're coming to a close, what do you think that providers are going to take away or do differently from listening today, from your review of the STITH study and JAMDA, and our discussion overall around the legalization of marijuana?
Well, my hope is that we open our minds and ask about use in an open-minded way. My initial reaction was, oh gosh, that sounds really unsafe in our older adults, and we shouldn't be recommending its use, and that certainly won't be anything I'll be supportive of. And then slowly but surely, I've seen the community around us and peers and relatives and just about everybody in the state of Colorado, it seems, at least knowing someone or talking to someone who has now experimented with use, because it's so prevalent. And so I hope that the discussion today allows folks to at least have an open mind to the possibility that their older adults are using cannabis or have been exposed to it, and will ask about it in a non-judgmental way, because it really does potentially affect the other treatments that they have. And then to also try to learn a little bit about the different formulations, what works, what doesn't seem to work, and then how we might move forward, because we have such a dearth of knowledge, and we desperately need to know what will work, what will be safe, and how we can operate in a more informed way. Right now, we're really shooting from the hip, and we're trying to give the best advice we can, but we have so very little evidence because we've not been able to do research in this area, and research remains an extremely difficult thing to conduct. And the reason the study we're talking about today is observational is that's the only way you can really practically do research at this point. There are a couple of labs, there's one lab that can grow research grade marijuana, and that's not what people are using. And so what we need is to do research in a pragmatic way, and not in an observational way, and that's really all we've got now. So I hope people will open their minds a bit and be asking about use and learning more, because this is something we'll need to catch up quickly on.
The drive to patient-centered care is opening up many, many windows for discussions and deliberations. And this has been a very interesting discussion. Thank you, Dr. Levy. Dr. Carrie Levy is the incoming president for AMDA, the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, and she is professor of medicine at the University of Colorado. Dr. Levy, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Until next time, I'm Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM, pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, please email cmd@paltc.org with your name and the podcast title. Thank you.